and the veins standing out on his rib cage. It wasn't clearly a particularly pleasant time for him, and it didn't bring him the results that he wanted. So he accepted a bowl of rice pudding from a young woman who met him exhausted on the side of a river, and he withdrew from this harsh style of asceticism into a practice, a form of practice that Buddhists have traditionally referred to as the middle path, another important concept in Buddhist life. The concept of the middle path colors all sorts of aspects the way Buddhists live. The point is to avoid two extremes, and the extremes can vary in certain situations. One is an extreme of self-denial, to deny yourself too much, not to care appropriately for the needs of the body and the personality. The other extreme is an extreme of self-indulgence, and a form of indulgence that affects not just the way people live, but also, in a sense, the way people think, especially the way they think about themselves. Buddhist philosophers constantly ask what it means to talk about ourselves as being a self. They often disagree about how best to define it, but they agree that the self should not be indulged, it should not be affirmed too much, and it also should not be denied. So the proper view of the personality, according to the Buddhist tradition, is in itself a middle path, a way of cultivating the self with a certain sense of responsibility, but also avoiding any sense of self-indulgence. We'll talk about the fine details of this issue when we discuss Buddhist philosophy in a later lecture. Once Siddhartha found the middle path, things began to move more quickly for him. He sat down under a tree and he fixed himself in meditation. He was tempted by Mara, who is the personification of death in the Buddhist tradition, who first sent his daughters to seduce Siddhartha and then sent his armies, the armies of his son, to distract him. I've begun to think of these armies not so much in the way it often has been presented traditionally in Buddhist literature as the armies of Mara that are out there, you know, fighting the Buddha to try to scare him away from the serious conviction, the serious commitment of his meditation, but in some way as the last vestige of his life as a prince. Fascinated by this, actually. It's almost as if this young guy, what was he say, 35, 36, something like that, we can only really guess at the exact age, had tried to turn his back on the princely life that he once had lived and was now attempting to seek this solution to the problem of transmigration. And out of his past came the old gang. All of these guys that he used to fight with, and they said to him, Siddhartha, come on out and fight with us, just like we used to do back there on the playground. Be a prince like you once were. The story, of course, in Buddhist literature is that he resisted the temptation that these armies presented, and he reached down in his meditation and touched the earth. The earth shook to bear witness to the strength of his conviction. Now, once this happened, of course, once Mara had been defeated, Siddhartha was on his way to enlightenment. In the dark of the night, he passed through stages of meditation and finally understood what caused the suffering of the world and how he could bring it to a definitive end. This was the moment when we can properly call Siddhartha the Buddha. Often the word Buddha is translated as the enlightened one, this is a common translation, and I suppose it's not a bad thing to use it. It certainly is a translation that's understandable to many people, but technically it's a little bit misleading. Buddhists say that a Buddha is someone who has awakened from the dream of ignorance and also whose wisdom has blossomed like a flower. The root that lies behind the word Buddha can mean to wake up from a dream, and it also can be used to refer to a rose, to speak of its opening, of its blossoming. These days, we generally translate the word Buddha as the awakened one. It also, I suppose, would be fine to say that he's the one who has blossomed. But that doesn't sound quite right in English, so I think I'll stick with the word awakened.